update on what's going on in the Kansas legislature from one of our area elected officials. And today, State Senator Tom Hawk joins us on the phone. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Brandon. Good to be here.
Absolutely. We're glad to have you here. How are things this week for you in the legislature? Did you get a lot accomplished?
Well, that is one of those trick questions, isn't it? The legislature always starts out kind of slow, and then it crescendos up at the end. But yes, we were on the floor, and there have been some good bills and some not-so-good bills that have passed. And so I'm happy to talk about those.
All right. Well, one thing I might start with here is just the redistricting bill that did get through both chambers and has been sent on to the governor's desk. What is your thinking on that bill and whether or not the governor will actually sign it, or do you think she'll veto it?
I'm not sure what she'll do in terms of it. I don't think it's a good bill. And, you know, we've had some controversy about redistricting really this time and the time before. I know that it pulled Manhattan out of the second district, and now it's putting Lawrence into the big first with Manhattan, which I think is probably not really the best thing for the state or for Lawrence. You know, the term is gerrymandering. It actually goes back to maybe a year ago or longer when the current president of the Kansas Senate, Susan Weigel, was giving a speech at a Republican gathering, the Wichita Pachyderm Club, and basically said that you know, we don't want to elect any Democrats in Kansas, and we can redraw the congressional district so Sharice Davis can't get reelected. And I'm paraphrasing what she said, and that's exactly what's been done in the process that was controlled by the majority party. And my big question is, and it's true that the numbers change as a result of the census, so we do need to make some adjustments, but these are sort of major adjustments, and they divided up Wyandotte County and took them out of that district. And I just wonder why they wouldn't add parts of Wichita or the Hutchinson area, Reno County, which are closer to being in western Kansas than to go all the way to the Kansas border with a big first. And so the real solution to this would be to have an independent commission do it, so it's not gerrymandered and not politicized, but that was not done. So I think probably a good course would be for the governor to veto it or just not to sign it. And I suspect that it'll go on to the courts and we'll be in the same situation we were 10 years ago, where the courts set the maps so that they are fair.
Okay. Were you surprised to see that, because I believe your Senate district goes into Geary County, to see them get moved into the second district?
Actually, I didn't see that, so I need to look at that closer. We haven't done our Kansas Senate maps just for the Senate districts, and I had a meeting on that this week and talked to my Republican colleague to the north of me, who will probably get the Clay Center district, and I'm guessing that my Senate district will be just Riley County, but that's yet to be determined. We've gained enough population, and we had a change in the Constitution that allows us to count K-State students and military people, that I think the senator from our district, Senate District 22, my district, serves those people, so it makes sense to count them. They hadn't been counted before. So that's where I've been focusing my attention on, is what will my district actually look like. And I'm hoping it will just be Riley County, because I think that makes sense.
All right, very good. I know you're on a bunch of different committees. I kind of tuned in for a little bit yesterday to one of those, the Ways and Means Committee. And you had a few different things that they discussed yesterday, including an update from the Office of Recovery. Can you talk to that a little bit?
Yes, we're getting started on, and I am on, it's called the SPARK Committee for Revitalization of Kansas. I'm on the one that will deal with broadband called Connectivity Committee. So we talked about that process. In fact, I have a 11 o'clock meeting, orientation meeting on that, and we'll have those meetings over the next couple months. But we have $1.6 billion in federal money that's coming, and about $500 million of that is likely to go into Department of Labor as we replenish our trust fund for that. Was hit really hard with COVID on that. And so that leaves about $1.2 billion to deal with to decide what are the priorities. And it's one-time money, so we have to make sure we don't spend it in a way that actually binds us in the future where we can't make future payments. And there are four different areas, and as I said, the connectivity one. So we talked about how that process might play out, so that was a big part of the discussion. The other thing we talked about, which you may be interested in, was how CAPERS is doing.
Yes, yes, indeed. I did see that discussion was towards the end.
We borrowed, did a bonding last year of $500 million, and we had done two other bondings since 2004 for another $500 million and another one for $1 billion. Got really good interest rates, and the CAPERS staff and their board actually we've had some great people from Manhattan on that. Gerald Borchers and Mike Rogers are two that I know of for sure that have served on that board, have made really good investments, and have gotten a really good return on our CAPERS investments. And there have been several governors over the years. Governor Brownback maybe was in the toughest spot because of his experiment that just devastated our state budget. So he didn't make the CAPERS payments, and that made a lot of people who were on CAPERS and in the program worried about whether they would actually be able to get their retirement benefits. I assure people that we're in good shape on that. And Governor Kelly has a plan to sort of pay off some of that debt that was taken because our revenues are up. It's called the layering payments, where we didn't make those. And that will actually give us more money in our general fund budget. So we talked a little bit about that yesterday. And there are some people who would like to use some of this money to actually put into CAPERS, which would get us up to a higher unfunded liability. At the lowest point we were at was 56%. That's not good. You want to be around 80%. And if we're at 80% of unfunded assets to liabilities, you're in a very healthy situation. And we're up in the mid-70s now, so we're in good shape. People who are on CAPERS and people who are working that have CAPERS benefits should feel very good about that.
All right, good stuff. So we talked about a little bit here. Is there anything you specifically wanted to touch on this morning while we got you here?
Well, I actually had a bill written, and we had a hearing on it yesterday in transportation. Called a zipper merge. And Dr. Betty Stevens, who's one of my fellow Rotarians, who was former president of Highland Community College and came to Manhattan working at K-State and is retired, wrote me a letter, and he sent me an email saying, why don't we do zipper merge in construction zones? She had noticed that traveling to see her grandchildren in some other states, particularly Illinois, that they had signs for that, and it actually worked better for traffic. And then Mike Mattson had an article in the Mercury about January 8th or so about a road rage incident that he saw out on Marlatt Avenue about how we really need to be more courteous. And I think he used the moniker of think. If we would respond to other drivers, and other people in other areas of our life instead of in such an emotional, reactive way. And all of us, I think, I certainly have had people that won't let you merge the construction that we've had out there by the Sheridan Hotel, getting the new bridge up, and that traffic along Fort Riley Boulevard. A lot of times it looks like people are crowding, and Zipper Merge says, go ahead and let, if you see that there's going to be a merge in a construction zone, you put signs up and keep the two lanes going. You don't have to merge early, and then keep the spacing in there and let people just gradually, you go, I go, merge. That's a much quicker way to deal with traffic. It moves along at a faster pace, fewer accidents. And we actually have done that in Kansas City metro area back in 2016 when they were doing a lot of construction on Highway 69. So we just did a bill suggesting that KDOT study that. We had some good testimony and some good discussion. And we really do need to think about how we treat one another on the roads, because I think, as Mattson said in his editorial, we really have too much road rage, and we need to give each other a break and be a lot more courteous, particularly when we're driving. So that was a fun thing. We also passed a bill yesterday, Brandon, that was kind of a hard one to swallow for me. I'm a pretty conservative with the state's money. But one of our big problems is we don't have enough good-paying jobs for the 20-somethings, the young people who graduate, and they move out. They get well-educated in Kansas. We have great colleges, and they move out of state. So we put together an incentive package. There's a large business out there. It could be up to $1 billion worth of incentives, but that money will come from the 4,000 jobs if we land this company. So we all sort of gritted our teeth, and it was, I think, a 32-7 vote, which is a very good bipartisan vote to give the Commerce Secretary the authority to try and land this big business. So hope that happens. But that was a very interesting debate, too. So we have some kumbaya bipartisanship going, even though the redistricting is a little dicey.
Well, that's exciting. Do we know where that company might potentially go, or is that not known yet?
That's not known, and the way economic development goes, both locally and on a big thing like this, people have to sign non-disclosure agreements because the companies are looking at several different states, and if you want to land them, you have to agree to be secret. I personally don't like that, but that's the game of big business, and if you want to create those kinds of jobs with those big companies, you're sort of stuck to playing at least partially by their rules.
Yep.
And I think that bothered a lot of my colleagues, both Democrats and Republicans on both sides of the aisle, but we think the benefit to our young people and to our economy is worth it, and we put some real guardrails up on that in terms of clawbacks and some of the transparency that will come if we land this company, and we put a sunset on it for about a year and a half so that we can monitor it very carefully.
All right. State Senator Tom Hogg joining us here on KMAN. We're getting short on time here, but I know you have a new podcast. Do you want to tell the listeners about that?
Well, yes, I do have, and I want to be thankful to Dave Lewis, who interviews me. He asked me as many tough questions as you do, Brandon, and it's sort of an attempt to recognize that the world has changed, and maybe some people, rather than reading a long newsletter with small print, might rather listen to it, and we are adding a couple of things to it. My children always tease me because of my humor and the dad jokes. In fact, they gave me a book for Christmas of bad jokes, so now I make them listen to it, and so we're going to have a little bit of humor and a little wisdom also. There's a thing I happen to come across in the last few years called aphorisms, which are when you get into a tight situation, maybe this zipper merge distracted driving kind of thing I mentioned could be one way to look at it, but they're little phrases you might use that might calm you down and get your executive brain functioning instead of your emotional functioning working. So we're gonna try and pick an aphorism and talk about how that might be used to to make a kinder, gentler political situation, whether you're serving in the legislature or talking to family members or friends.
All right. Well, look forward to that. State Senator Tom Hawk joining us. Dave, did you have something else?
Senator Hawk Talk is what it's called.
Okay.
That's about all I can say right now.
Dave's got not much of a voice.
Senator, he has the same problem I had around Thanksgiving. My family loved the fact that I got a horse in Thanksgiving. They thought it was the best Thanksgiving ever because everybody else got airtime.
Good luck with that, Brandon.
Yeah.
Senator, always good to hear from you. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Oh, you guys too. Take care. Appreciate everything you do for our community. Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Yep. Bye.